Hello and welcome to the LCU Coaches Show, brought to you by the Shap Radio Sports Network and the LCU Podcast. You're listening to 99.1 Shap Radio, KLCT LP, Lubbock, Texas. I'm Nathan Carcino, and I'm pleased to be joined by head softball coach Darren Hayes. Coach, it's been a busy few weeks, so we appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Oh, thanks, Nathan. Appreciate you giving us the coverage.
Looking at this season as a whole, your team sits 22-18 overall and 21-15 in conference play. Two series left on the schedule. What sort of stretch this season you think has impacted the team the most to get to this point?
You know, this sounds strange, but our non-conference has killed us so far. We played four really good teams, highly rated in the region teams, southeastern teams, and we really didn't get much of a bump from that for our RPI. But you know, our strength of schedule is really good, and it not even figure in that. And losing all those games to weather the second weekend has affected us for the negative. But the good news is we're still one projection has us eighth, which would get us in a regional if we finish strong. And then another one has us as high as fifth in the region. So we'll see what happens when the regional rankings come out. But we're in a decent position with six tough games coming.
Yeah, the Lady Shaps have played nine games against ranked opponents this season, and six of those games have come against Lone Star Conference teams. And you've been a part of this program for as long as LCU has been in the Lone Star. So how tough and deep is this league in particular in compared to years past?
Well, it's the best conference in the country easily. And, you know, it's got way too many teams in it, obviously. But our, you know, our geography says the league should be good because we're in the South and Texas is a big softball state. And so, yeah, it's really good. And it's, you know, full of really good coaches who have had good programs for a long time and some tradition there in a lot of those programs. And so, yeah, it's there's not a lot of weekends off. And I know, you know, the Rocky Mountain is the other conference in our region, and you know, the strength of schedule there's not good. You know, they have two or three teams at the top that are really good, and after that it drops off. So we don't have a lot of off weekends of you know, don't see a lot of weak pitching throughout the year and all that stuff. So, you know, basically what our girls have got, they've earned.
Yeah, looking at one of those ranked matchups you mentioned was last weekend at home against Angelo State. In game one, LCU scored first in the bottom of the second, and then both teams scored three runs in the fourth and one run in the fifth. In the seventh inning, Angelo was able to tally five runs, and LCU could only get two back and ended up falling 9-7. What were your thoughts on some of this game?
Well, that game is on me, and you know, we had a really tough stretch with the weather. We went to WT, and Maxine threw great. I think she went 6 1/3, and if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, it was wind howling out in a small ballpark, so it was really, there weren't many, you know, easy at-bats in that one. So, you know, she definitely had to work on that first WT deal. And then she threw back-to-back complete games in a big series at Cameron. And I really felt like it affected her in that game as she was really tired the last couple of innings. And, you know, Reese had thrown so well at WT, so I brought in Reese, and she just didn't have it. She couldn't get the ball down. And so, you know, I should have stuck with Maxine, and she came back in relief the next day and threw great. And so, you know, that one was on the coach. And, you know, but so we probably should have had a win on the series that weekend and didn't get it. And that's definitely a missed opportunity.
Well, then thankfully there was a different story in game two, as it was a complete game shutout from Tione Lamb. Seven innings, four hits, four strikeouts, and LCU wins 5-0. Lamb being a transfer this season from Weatherford College, she's been very impressive. The 8-4 record, 2.35 ERA. How well have you seen her just slide into that role as number two?
Well, she's done great, and you know, she's a different style of pitcher than we've had here in the past. She really spins the ball, locates the ball well. You know, her first inning at WT was not good, and then she came back and threw great, and then had a rough outing at Cameron. So I was you know, anxious to see how she would do with a really good hitting Angelo team, and had a bad first inning again, but was able to get out of it. And then after that, she was dominant, really threw well. And so, you know, that gives you something you need when you get into the playoffs and postseason. You need that starting pitching depth.
In the back half of Sunday's doubleheader here against Angelo State, they got the bats rolling immediately, scored 6 runs in the top of the first, and then LCU put together some runs in the later few innings, but was ultimately too little too late, and it was a 7-4 loss in the finale. What were some of your messages to the team once they got down that early, and then how they responded later on?
Well, you know, in our ballpark, the game's never over, and we've swung the bats well enough, and we still, you know, got our hits and everything, and but you can't come out, and we made a really key mistake there in the first and threw a ball away, and Cameron was already backing up one base, and we threw it to the wall, and a couple of girls scored on that, and that was the difference in the game. And Taryn didn't throw well at all, and she didn't throw well at Cam, so she had 2 rough outings in a row. But the week before at WT, she was really good in a tough pitching environment. So you know, it starts on the mound. You know, your pitchers give your team courage and confidence, and if you come out and don't have it, get behind in the count to a good hitting team and have to get the ball up, that kind of thing's going to happen, especially when you compound it with bad defense. And so, you know, I was proud of our girls for playing well for 6 innings, because it would have been very easy to lay down.
Now, this series, it just finished off a stretch of 9 games in 12 days for your team, with 2 series still to come these next 2 weekends. And it looked like all the regular starters were out there. But after a stretch like that, what is the general health report?
Well, yeah, we're banged up. You know, Hope Benalis has had back injections this year. Sydney Boland's about to have another one tomorrow. And so we've got some kids banged up, but that's to be expected at this time of the year. And, you know, we didn't have Skylar early in the year, and that really hurt us. But she's played unbelievable here lately. And so, you know, as far as being this deep in the season, we're relatively healthy. And, you know, we do have the expected bumps and bruises, but you know, nothing to make an excuse over.
So now, with some of that in mind, what is your agenda looking like for training this week as you prepare for the next few weeks?
Well, we had yesterday was an off day. All they had were weights and try to bounce back physically a little bit. And then today was a very light day. Tomorrow will be an off day. I just felt like it was important to let their bodies bounce back after playing so many games and so few days. So hopefully, you know, we'll let them freshen up a little bit. We're not throwing much today, and we'll go back into our normal practice routine Thursday and try to get ready for the weekend.
So yeah, this coming weekend, Lady Shaps host their final home series on the schedule, taking on the UT Permian Basin Falcons. And right now, UTPB at the bottom of the conference standings, but like you just mentioned, you can't take an off day in this conference. So what are some of the things you're expecting?
Well,
this weekend?
You know, this is where you start thinking you have to play well every game. It doesn't matter who you play. And, you know, our pitching meeting today, we talked about, hey, it doesn't matter who you face in our league. If you get the ball up and you're behind in the count, you're going to get hit. And so, you know, we got to get back to being consistent, you know, ahead in the count and pounding the strike zone early. And, you know, we've shown the ability in the fall and this spring to do that. So that's the main thing. And then, you know, then we go to UT Tyler right now. A lot of the projections have them ranked number 1 in the region, even though WT swept them early in the year, and which I don't agree with that. But, you know, so that's going to – our strength of schedule, it'll take a hit this weekend with the UTPB, but it'll definitely bounce back up. And so you want to finish out strong and try to get a series win there if you can. And if you can, you put yourself in a really good spot.
Yeah, real quickly, you talk about the comparison UT Tyler to WT. How much do you think that win at in Canyon, how much do you think that helped?
Well,
your standings?
You know, they won 33 in a row at home, and and they're built for their ballpark. And with the way the wind was blowing there, I mean, Maxine pitched unbelievable against that lineup in that ballpark, and our lineup did a good job. You know, with the girl that I considered their best, we hit her around really well, and they hard enough that they wouldn't bring her back in the rest of the series. And so, yeah, that was a big win for us. And it was good for us because, you know, we've had a lot of close losses this year and a lot of games that we kind of let slip defensively mainly. And so it was good to finish that on the road. It was good for a freshman pitcher to come in and close that out and do a good job. And so, you know, any win like that is going to help your club.
So now you mentioned UT Tyler coming up next weekend. How much do you see yourself starting to balance, looking what else is going on around the conference and the region, but also staying locked into the next game?
Yeah, you know, that's a tough ballpark to play in. It's not a conducive for hitting. The ball doesn't carry real well down there. Then on dirt, we've had our issues early in the year, especially on dirt playing defense, and we've played better on dirt. We played well at Cameron for the most part, and you know, so that'll be important to us. And it's a place that we could turn right back around and go the next weekend, or for the conference tournament, or for the regional tournament in a couple weeks after that. So we need to go down and play well.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to the rest of the way. I believe we'll see some senior recognition coming up this weekend.
We will, and there's a good chance that our series will go from be moved from Friday, Saturday to Thursday, Friday because of the rain on Saturday. So there's a good chance we'll play Thursday evening and then have senior day on Friday. And then because we'll be gone the next couple weeks, we'll have a senior graduation on Saturday morning for our girls. So big senior class and a bunch of girls we're going to miss.
Absolutely. Is there anything else you'd like to mention to Shap Nation before we sign off?
No, we appreciate everybody's support.
Awesome. Thank you so much, and best of luck.
Appreciate it, man.
That was head softball coach Darren Hayes. Stay tuned for more here on the LCU Coaches Show on the LCU Podcast and 99.1 Shap Radio.
99.1 Shap Radio, KLCT LP, Lubbock, Texas, LCU student-run station in the home of Lady Shap and Chaparral Athletics. Welcome back to the LCU Coaches Show, live on Shap Radio and on demand on the LCU Podcast. You just heard from head softball coach Darren Hayes, and we are now joined by LCU head baseball coach Nathan Blackwood. Coach, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. I am. We're getting to the point of the year where it's about to really hit a crunch. I mean, we're less than 2 weeks away from finals, so I'm trying to catch up on all everything school and make sure that's good before the semester ends.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a busy time of year and a fun time of year for everybody, it seems like.
Indeed. It's going to be a good end to the spring semester. Coach, I wanted to start by saying this past weekend was Veteran and Military Appreciation Weekend at all home LCU events, including the home baseball series against St. Edward's. And your father, Rod Blackwood, who is a veteran, got to throw out the first pitch Friday before the game against St. Edward's. How awesome was it to see your dad get to throw out the first pitch?
Yeah, that was a great experience for both of us, really, I think. I was surprised when they our staff, our SID staff, brought that up. I didn't think he would be interested in doing that at all. I thought he would say no, and so I asked him, and he said, sure, you know, you'll have to play catch with me and get me warm and practice a little bit. And we did that last Sunday night, and that was pretty cool. But yeah, just for him to be out there on the field with me and do that for this team and to honor all of our veterans, that was a cool experience.
Was he a baseball guy growing up?
He was. He didn't play in college. He played basketball in college, but played up through, you know, high school. And then I just remember as a kid, you know, he played church league softball forever and going out to all those games. And he was really good too. So it was fun kind of watching him as I was growing up.
So I wasn't there on Friday, but I assumed the first pitch was a good one.
It wasn't great.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
I think he skipped the plate, you know, kind of shorted it a little bit. He, you know, he broke his arm his shoulder or his humerus maybe a year and a half ago. And I don't think he's really completely recovered from that. But, yeah, it was good. But he, I don't think he was proud of his pitch.
Well, that was awesome to hear. Shout out to, Hunter Lively and the rest of the SID staff are putting that together. I believe it was the Lubbock High or the Coronado Junior ROTC?
Lubbock High, and that was cool too because You know, we were supposed to have, I believe, the Texas Tech ROTC group out there to present the colors, and they had something come up last minute, and Hunter just scrambled to find something, and Lubbock High ROTC group came through for us, I think as late as Saturday morning, and got that done. So that was cool for them to be out there as well.
Well, looking at the baseball that happened this past weekend, of course, LSU did host St. Edward's for a big four-game series. A lot of respect for a good St. Edward's program. Looking at game one on Friday, the Shaps won 9-7 as they scored two in the eighth to go ahead in that one. What did you see in game one against the Hilltoppers?
Yeah, well, their best guy was on the mound. You know, a guy we've seen several times through I think he's a fifth year guy, and you know, beat us in the regional last year, and so it, you know, we kind of knew how to approach him, but he was really good again that night. So it took us a while to get to him, and then we finally kind of got his pitch count up, and some guys came through late, and we took a lead. And again, Algard did a great job of keeping us in the game, and then we were able to turn it over to Chris Scholl and shut him down.
Game two and three were played on Saturday as part of the doubleheader of the series. In game two, the Chaparral saw an early 6-0 lead diminish as St. Edward scored 13 runs in the final three innings to take that one by a final score of 13-9. Coach, obviously, tough one to see slip away, but what was the team's response, you know, in between games after dropping that one?
Yeah, well, first of all, about dropping that one, that's one that we talked about. That was a very disappointing loss, you know, and again, it may have been one of the worst disappointing losses we've had this year, just because the way we lost that thing. It's a game we've got to win, and we've got to learn from and figure out how to win that game, because it was really just kind of a letdown mentally. We kind of, you know, took our foot off the pedal and started relaxing and didn't make some defensive plays that were big. Every one of their big innings was, if you go back and look at it, if we just make a basic play, they don't score any of those runs. And so that was disappointing. The way I used the bullpen was not very good, you know, so I certainly learned from that. And our bullpen is very capable, but you got to use them in a certain way, and then you got to make plays behind them. And both of those things, you know, we just didn't do very good in that game. And so I was proud of their response, to answer your question, proud of their response in that next game, and them just coming out and doing what we were supposed to do. And you know, St. Ed's is a good team, but the way we lost that first game is just very disappointing.
Did you feel that after that game, too, that there was a sense of urgency headed into game three?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, you don't really call it that in baseball, but it's true. You know, you kind of like, okay, we gotta get this thing going now, but you don't want to put that pressure on yourselves, and you want to just kind of flush it and just go back and continue to have fun, and that's what our guys did. But still, it was kind of like, hey, we gotta go win this game.
In game three, the Shaps did respond as, after trailing 6-2 entering the fifth inning, Shaps make a comeback and scored six combined unanswered runs to close out the game as they won 8-6 to split the doubleheader. You know, how were your guys able to put a comeback, not only put together a comeback in the game, but put one together fairly late in a game that, you know, ends after seven innings?
Yeah, again, it... You know, we knew going into the weekend that their strength was their starting pitching and their weakness was their bullpen. So it was just a matter of trying to get to the bullpen and see what we could do there. And again, our guys came through, had some really good at bats. And then, you know, when Brevin comes up with two guys on and we tie it up, that was pretty cool.
So the first three games of this series, somewhat all relatively close, especially towards the end. But in game four, the Shaps slammed the door on St. Ed's, winning 14-1 in a seven-inning run rule victory. Coach, a lot of offense in this one, obviously. But the most impressive performance from this one came from starting pitcher Andrew Duran. Seven innings, only allowing only four runs, one unearned run, walked four, struck out five, and tossed 98 pitches. How good was it to see Duran have not only a solid outing, but a complete game and a win?
Yeah, again, huge for us. We felt like we were set up good for that game with our starting pitching as well as our bullpen, just because we knew who we had available and we had some really good guys ready to go. But for him to go out there and pitch I think you say he gave up one run in seven innings, that was really cool, and for him to get a complete game was good for us. He's just been that guy for the most part all year. He's had just a couple of hiccups in his outings, but he's been very consistent, and he always pitches that Sunday game, and seems like we're really hitting on that day and giving him good support, but he didn't even need it that day and was really good. So it's cool seeing what Andrew has done for us all season.
After the offense went up 6-0 in the first, three homers there in the bottom of the first inning, did you feel that Durant's pitching, the offense felt even more comfortable knowing that they had a guy on the mound that was going to back them all the way through and through?
Yeah, that always makes a difference. You don't want to feel like you have to outscore anybody. It just kind of takes the pressure off you at the plate when you're hitting, and just knowing that all you got to do is try to get on base and let the next guy behind you do something. And that's kind of been our mentality all year. But there's times that we put a little too much pressure on ourselves. But when Andrew's on the mound and in that situation, the way he was pitching, it was just a good day overall.
I know, throughout this series, there was, quite a bit of home runs. But there was also a lot of small ball played, moving guys around and, scoring without using the long ball. Do you feel that as time is continuing to progress, you're getting closer and closer towards the end of the regular season, the small ball approach is really starting to click for your offense?
It is, and it's a big, it's the biggest difference this year versus last year. We've always been able to hit, but we really, our guys have really bought into the importance of being aggressive on the bases, stealing bags, getting bunts down, hitting behind runners, all those kinds of things that, again, if we're able to, get into postseason and, the pitching just continues to get better and better, we're going to need more and more of that, and our guys know that. Plus, even this weekend, looks like the wind's going to be blowing in, and it's just a situation where you've got to be ready for that kind of small ball type baseball all the time, and then when you can hit long ball, you can't. It's a good mixture of both, and you've got to have a good mix.
Well, looking at some of the top performances from this weekend, Brevin McCool had six hits and led the series with 13 RBI. Jared Gibson had seven hits in the series, despite still working through an injury. Carson Ogilvy in the leadoff spot had seven hits and six RBI. In game four, both Ogilvy and Chris Schoell were a triple short of a cycle. How does this offense play complementary baseball as a unit?
Well, we've mentioned that before. That's the key to a good offense is no guys, nobody where they can take a guy off in the lineup, so it's 1 through 9 being strong hitters and not trying to do too much when you're the guy that's up, knowing the guy behind you can get it done if you don't, and just grinding out good at bats. And that's what our guys have done for the most part. When you see a guy feel like he has to, take all the pressure on himself, it's just really hard to perform. So that's been a key. You mentioned, both of those guys, Ogilvy and Schoell. Ogilvy probably hits a triple if he gets out of the box on that one that was he thought was called foul. You go back and look at it, and it was actually a fair ball, but he heard the catcher say, I think he heard the catcher say foul, and the umpire's pointing fair. if Ogie gets out of the box, that's a triple, and he definitely has the cycle at that point. But you know, sometimes that happens, and it was good to see him have a great day, as well as Shull. Shull needed that, and Shull's very capable of that. And for his, you know, his first at bat to go opposite field home run, that was big. And he, you know, he's a good player, and he needs to get it done both ways, on the mound and at the plate, and he's doing that now.
Is there anyone else in your mind, whether on the mound or in the box, that had a notable series against St. Edward's?
Yeah, there's Van Man, and I keep mentioning him. He's had a rough year for him, and it seems like the last few weeks he's really starting to see the ball better, and we're moving him up in the lineup, and that's huge for us, because if he's producing as well as all these other guys, we're going to be really hard to beat and tough lineup.
Talking with LCU head baseball coach Nathan Blackwood. Coming up next, it's the rivalry on the range, and the LCU Chaparrals will head north to play against a top 10 team in the country, top 5, depending on whichever ranking you want to look at, wherever they land in the rankings. Nonetheless, they are a very good team, and right now, number 1 in the Lone Star Conference. Chaparrals are a game back in the standings behind West Texas A&M. Now, before we get into the series, I understand that Saturday, expecting inclement weather. Can you give Chap Nation, you know, what's being moved around and when, you know, each game of this series is going to be?
Yeah, right now it looks like Saturday is the worst day, so we're trying to avoid the doubleheader on that day. So he's moving the doubleheader to Friday, starting at 2:00, trying to get out of there before the rain comes in Friday night, perhaps. And then Saturday set for a single 9 at 1:00, and then Sunday set for a single 9 at also at 1:00. If Saturday doesn't happen, then we would push everything to Monday. But for sure, the doubleheader is set for Friday, 2:00, and then set for 1 and 1 Saturday, Sunday.
All right, so again, West Texas A&M, very good team. And right now there's a 3-team race for a Lone Star Conference championship with 2 weekends left in the regular season. It's WT, LCU, and Angelo State close behind LCU. Is this a make-it-or-break-it series for the Chaparrals?
You never want to say that, for sure. But, yeah, you know, on paper, We feel like we have the best route to win the league, but this series obviously is huge. You know, we've got WT this weekend. We have, and we finish with Eastern next weekend, who's a good team. But WT and Angelo play each other next weekend. So, you know, again, on paper, it's if we can go either split this series or even perhaps win this series, I think we're sitting pretty good, as long as we can take care of business the next weekend. But again, it's anything can happen at this point, so got to go win one game at a time.
This is a ball club that was really well-rounded last season. They fell to the Chaparrals 6 times. LCU did not lose to WT last year, had the benefit of hosting them in the regular season and in the postseason in the first weekend of the Lone Star Conference tournament. How do you kind of get past that, hey, what happened last year is all in the past, and you got to really focus on this year's squad, which is back and really good and probably better than last season?
There's no doubt they're better than last season, and they were good last year. We, and our guys know this, there's no way that should have happened. For us to beat them 6 times in a row, everything went our way. Every bounce of the ball, every umpire call, every fluke play, it was one of those, both in the series and the postseason best of 3 series, I've never seen anything like it. And it was kind of one of those deals where we were the home team in every one of those games, and I think we had 3 or 4 walk-offs out of the 6 games. And, you know, if those are at WT, they could be completely switched around. You know, the home team had a huge advantage in those games, and we know that. But like you said, they're a better team this year anyway, and it's going to be a battle.
Who's the guys to look out for on this Buffalo team?
Well, their pitching is good. You know, Nick Marshall has been their best guy last couple of years, and he's not having the season he's capable of, and I don't want him to just start having that all of a sudden. But they've got some, you know, they're the top hitting team in the league. We're right behind them in hitting, but you know Vesperman and you know all those guys that can just really rake. Are starting to see the ball really good, and they had a good weekend against St. Mary's too. So it's going to be a battle
for the Chaparrals to come out on top this weekend. What is the key to doing so?
We got to pitch good for sure. You know, our starting pitching has got to continue to compete and keep us in the game like they've been doing. We've got to execute, and no doubt we got to make plays on defense, and I think we're going to be closer to doing that from a injury standpoint, having maybe our best defense on the field for the most part throughout the weekend, and we got to make plays and be consistent.
You mentioned how you said the wind was going to be blowing in. You know, they play at Wilder Park. You've been there plenty of times. You know how this ballpark plays. Can you explain to our audience how this ballpark plays?
Yeah, it's just like ours. So, you know, on a hot day, the wind's going to be blowing straight out. A southwest wind blows straight out to center, just like ours. But when it's cold, it's blowing straight in, you know, from center. And it looks like one of those days there's an east wind, which will be blowing in from right field. So it typically, most of the time when we play there, the wind's blowing out. But, again, if it's cold, it's coming straight in. So it looks like it's going to be one of those weekends where small ball and pitching might be the key.
Coach, before we go, do you have anything else you would like to share with Chap Nation?
No, just thank everyone for the support. These guys are having fun and looking forward to this weekend as well as getting back home next weekend for senior weekend.
Well, Coach, thank you for your time and best of luck this weekend.
Yeah, thank you.
That was head baseball coach Nathan Blackwood. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the LCU Coaches Show. Come out to Canyon this weekend, wear your blue all weekend long to support the Chaparrals as they have a big series with West Texas A&M in the rivalry on the range starting this Friday. Also, be sure to come out to Manor Park this weekend as the Lady Chaps host UTPB starting with a doubleheader Friday afternoon. As always, you can hear the show every Tuesday at 8 p.m. on Chap Radio and on demand on the LCU podcast. Y'all have a good night and God bless from the Hub City. Keep listening here for more great hits on 99.1 Chap Radio.